Yeah, and I'm Tiffany. I'm actually sitting on my bed today, like with my fire on, and that'll only last until about 12 o'clock, and then I'll turn on my air condition. It's that time of year.
Yeah, I know. We've been at work. It's been kind of crazy because we have like our AC on, and the front of the building gets kind of warm. It has like all these windows, you know, so it stays like a decent temperature in the winter because the windows are letting some sunlight in. But the back of the building gets freezing cold, and so people have been either freezing cold or like sweating bullets, and we can't find a happy medium. One day I went to turn the AC off, and one thermostat was on cool and one thermostat was on heat. And I was like, okay, this has been happening all day.
Like, this is, it's not my hormones. It's actually the air conditioning and the heating system.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my gosh.
All gaslighting.
Yeah, so happy almost fall. That's where we're at.
Yeah, technically,
which is good.
Should be here. And it does. It does. I do have to say, it does feel like fall in Utah. There has been some years where it was 80 degrees in October. And luckily, that's not this year, which I'm really excited about, because I think last year, a lot of the fun things I looked forward to doing in fall and like kind of little traditions that I was excited for got kind of, you know, dismissed.
Just because it doesn't have kind of the same vibe when you're like carving a pumpkin and sweating, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to be a little cold.
Right. Well, we've had beautiful weather. We're in Washington here, and it's been where it's like chilly, cold in the morning, and then it's sunny and pretty in the afternoon. I'm really hoping we hang on to this fall weather for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, that kind of does lead us into, we were talking about traditions and things like that, and just, we've kind of had some podcasts about traditions and fun traditions that we do and things that we do to like, you know, get ready for different seasons of the year. But this year, kind of, I feel like there's this pull to simplify a little bit, but also just to like, not even necessarily simplify, but just like get back in touch with like why I do the things that I do and the traditions that I have going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I think, you know, there's a lot of heavy stuff going on right now. And so you kind of naturally feel that pull to like pull inward, gather all your people and just like hunker down. But we don't really want to do that. That actually doesn't help. But what we do want to do is make sure the things that we are planning or focusing on have a purpose and are actually like filling us, you know, not just adding to the stress.
Yeah.
So we've talked on here before. I've had this neighborhood party that our families helped do for a couple years now. And we just wanted to get to know neighbors better, have people come out of their houses, and we plan it in a cul-de-sac area. People, it's just potluck style. People bring stuff. Sometimes we'll put out fire pits or a table with some crafts or something for kids, and people just kind of talk, sit around the fire, or we have lots of chairs set out. And this year we weren't feeling it. Like, Jared and I were just kind of like, I don't feel like I am talking to my neighbors anymore from having this once a year thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if we've done it two or three times, but it just kind of was like, I don't feel like I know my neighbors anymore. And if we have it again, we would have to ask everyone their name again, like kind of do the same thing every time. And it kind of was just getting a little frustrating, where maybe we need to rethink this and do something else. But then last week, a friend of mine that lives in our neighborhood came up and was like, are we doing the party? Asked me all about it. And I was like, I'll be honest. Like, I don't know if we're going to do it. What do you think? So we kind of talked about it, and her view was, it is one time where people in the neighborhood are talking to each other. So even if it's not like your best friends, it is accomplishing something at some point.
Yeah.
And so I've just kind of been thinking about that. Like, that is true, but does that make it worth holding, or do we need to change things up?
Yeah. And it almost seems like, you know, maybe the why at the beginning is changing to a different why.
Yeah.
So almost like, obviously, if that's changing, then the activity itself is probably going to change, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, and like, it goes along with what we talked about last week with superficial conversations. Maybe my expectation is too high for a beginning event. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to lower my expectations, and this activity isn't one that I'm going to go deep with people. This is more superficial, and maybe that's okay. I mean, I have to decide that mm-hmm. with whoever else normally helps us put it on, you know. Is it okay to have a gathering that's just kind of superficial, to kind of get a put a face to a name?
Yeah.
Name to a face.
You know, I feel like that actually is kind of a cool idea, to have a gathering where you really, the whole goal is to just enjoy strangers' company, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to get to know these people super well, like, down to, you know, everything. You're not going to have, like, these extreme lasting friendships, although that may happen, but, like, you're not going to have, you know, where you really just, like, make all these new friends. And maybe having a little bit more of that in our life, just practicing that muscle of like being friendly to strangers and how to enjoy time with strangers, is something that, you know, I feel like the world actually does need a little bit more.
Oh yeah, that's interesting. So maybe you're just really needing to reevaluate what's the purpose, go back to the purpose. Why am I doing this? And maybe your purpose is going to change, but you're not necessarily going to get rid of this tradition completely.
Mm-hmm.
Some things that I would think about. So since this is kind of the example we're using, I'm going to think about who comes and does it benefit them? One of my neighbors said, you know, remember those two older people that come and they're so lonely, like they don't have anything going on, and they actually really looked forward to having something to go to. So maybe one of the purposes isn't my purpose. Maybe it's not what am I getting out of it, but are there people coming that this is really important to?
Yeah.
That could be a question you ask yourself. Also, do you need to change a venue? Like, do you need to hold it somewhere different to change the vibe you want? Maybe I'm going to hold it actually at my house instead of in a cul-de-sac. You know, a cul-de-sac initially was not intimidating. People could come and go, and it wasn't like they were walking into a house and would feel stuck. But maybe we need to move it to a house, to a backyard or something, just so it's like, okay, now you know actually where I live. And if you had a problem or you need something, you could come because you've already been here. So maybe another question is, you know, do you need to change where you hold the event, and do you need to invite the same people? Or maybe you need to change. Maybe my neighborhood party is going to get smaller and I'm not going to include as many streets. My neighborhood kind of doesn't end. It's one of those that just like morphs into other neighborhoods. And maybe I need to just invite the four streets around my house, you know, maybe not the 10 streets or something like that. So there's lots of things you could ask yourself if you're wanting to reevaluate whether a tradition is worth keeping.
Yeah. And I mean, if you think about, like, you know, those events that you see where people get together in, like, if you think about any event where you're getting together with strangers and actually enjoying it, I'm thinking of like farmers markets or, you know, sometimes like movie theaters. If it's a good movie, people will all clap at something together, even though they don't know each other, or, you know, versus times where you're with strangers that people seem to not really enjoy, like sitting on the subway or, you know, passing in a grocery store, waiting in line at a grocery store. Like, there's kind of these like social cues of like, okay, this is an event that you can, you know, talk to strangers and it's not going to be weird. Like, that's kind of, it's more easygoing. So maybe even just thinking of it as that, like just creating your own, like your own little stranger event, you know, so that it's like, okay, this is helping me practice, you know, enjoying people that I don't know and don't really plan on getting to know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's allowing other people to come and practice that as well, because the more that we have that, the more that you're going to feel at home out and about in the world, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I think you're right. Like, it is needed right now to be able to talk to other people that may not be from your same demographic or your same family. It is so needed. And so I've been reading a lot about individualism and how toxic that is for our society right now, that everyone's just like, I'm going to do me. I'm going to stay at my house. If it doesn't, you know, fill my need, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And contrasting that with kind of how it used to be, where you had barn raisings, like, I ask for help, I'm going to I need to build a house. The whole community comes together. The men all work on building this house. And there's like maybe a dance afterwards, or the families all bring food to share.
Yeah.
You know, contrasting that with individualism. And I think it takes practice. Like, you don't automatically just start being good at talking to random people, or maybe not even random people, maybe person two houses down from you that you don't see very often.
That is such a cool idea, actually, thinking about that, like, house raising thing. That was like a huge community thing mm-hmm. that used to happen all the time. But all these strangers came together, and it was like, one, they know there's going to be good food and that there's going to be like fun stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then two, they're like helping someone do something that like they can't do by themselves. Like, they need a bunch of people to help out with.
Yeah.
And like, how cool would it be to have, you know, little stranger gatherings that are more like that, where it's like, okay, we have like someone in the neighborhood has a fence that they need to build. So we're going to have a fence party where everyone comes and works on the fence. And then once, you know, we get to this certain breaking point or get it done or whatever, then we're going to have food. We're going to have music. We're going to have a little movie after, you know, like something yeah. like that. That mm-hmm. seems more like, because you have a reason to get together with strangers. You know, sometimes it's a little overwhelming to be like, I feel like I'm going to have to talk to people I don't know, and I don't know how to do that. You know,
right.
It's just like working on something together, even like yard work, like help, you know.
Raking leaves in the fall.
Yeah. Like, that would be a cool event to kind of transition it to, of like, okay, we're going to do a leaf raking party where we're going to go from house to house. People are going to sign up on who needs their leaves raked. And then at the end, we're all going to get together and have, you know, apple cider and chat
yeah.
and hang out. And there'll be like yard games.
Yeah. Well, and I think it goes back to that idea that we talked about in the past of giving people permission to do things and giving them a clear idea of what to expect. So mm-hmm. when you walk into a house at a party, guiding them to the next step so they're not just kind of standing there like, where do I go? That's yeah. the same thing with, you know, a community gathering or a neighborhood gathering. Yeah. If they walk into this cul-de-sac and they're all kind of like, now what do? I have to approach some stranger and talk to them. Mm-hmm. That's a little more daunting than, example, I'm setting up a TV. We're going to watch the local college football game, and that's going to be playing.
Yeah.
And if you want to, you can come sit, and that's like a starting point. Or we're going to have this quilt or craft table, and we're going to start with that. You know, just having something that people know what they're getting into
yeah.
before they get there.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that. Transitioning it to maybe something that's more like a neighborhood service party, or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that is, I think that would be the next step in creating community, funny enough, is like really getting people to just jump in and serve together. You know,
mm-hmm. And I don't know if people have heard about this, but there's an app or website called Just Serve, and you can get on there and put your zip code in, and it'll list all the organizations in your area that need help with something. We have a couple like food banks, or we have a teen homeless shelter. Tonight, for example, our church group is taking meals to the teen homeless shelter. Mm. And that's just something you just get on, just serve. You find something that fits with what you want to do. And if you have kids, it'll say like, this is good for this age, or no, this isn't appropriate for kids, or whatever. Mm-hmm. You just find something, and then you just get people together and go do it. And I think it's easier now than it ever has been to find something to serve. And I think it's important that we don't leave it to organizations. It's not just, I'm going to wait for my church or my school to plan something and then I'll go serve with them. But actually yeah. getting together with people you're around more often and being like, hey, what, you guys want to do something? Let's go. I've planned this event and let's go serve at the food yeah. bank or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that. I should do that more. It's kind of interesting too, like, just kind of circling back to understanding the why behind traditions. I've been thinking a lot about, for years, I haven't done traditions that have been key in my life, like growing up, like the apple party we always used to do, or like the, what's it called? shepherd's dinner, mm-hmm. like in Christmas, where we all, you know, dress up as shepherds and we kind of sit around and talk about the birth of Christ and eat what they would have eaten back then and, you know, have candlelight. And like those two things, I think, are major memory banks for me growing up. And so I feel like this year I want to get back into that. I don't know if I'll do both, but definitely I'm going to at least start with the apple party. And it's kind of interesting because after taking a break from the tradition, it's become more meaningful. Like I've had to rethink, why is it that we would do it that way? Or like, how do I actually want to do it to get the outcome that I want, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think obviously this year we're going to do it a little later in the season. We always used to do it like beginning of fall, like in September. And this year, I think I'm going to do it like end of October area or mid-October.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to be a super small group of people. And I think it's going to be really fun just to like get together with people, make carameled apples, talk. I think we might do like a movie in the garage or something.
Oh, fun.
So anyway, that's just been something that I've been wanting to do for a while. And I think taking a break has actually helped me remember like, this is really cool. And I really, there's a lot of meaning in this to me.
Well, yeah, I have a couple thoughts about that. You know, if you're wondering what traditions to start or resurrect, looking at what you did as kids, you know, were there things that your family or community did as kids that are just really nostalgic to you? And is that something you could continue? But also, I think supporting other people's traditions. Maybe you're not the one who organizes an event, but I've got a friend who does a eat your pie first party before Thanksgiving every year. And it's so fun. She has it every year. And maybe it's more of like, okay, that's not my tradition, but traditionally I go to this event every year. Mm-hmm. So how could I support that?
This
year for her birthday, I bought her a new pie plate. Cute. And so I was like, I mean, it's not a big deal. I really wanted to get it for her just because it just reminds me of something that I feel connected going to this party, and I appreciate her holding it. And mm-hmm. so, you know, maybe you are invited to a party every year that you really enjoy. And is there a way maybe you could take a bigger role in that? Does that person want more help organizing it? Or is there something you could buy to give them like, hey, I appreciate you holding this every year. Here's a little something I thought that might help make your life easier, you know, moving forward. And so supporting other people's traditions also,
I really like
that. Is a good idea.
Yeah. And that could be something where maybe if you're feeling overwhelmed by all your traditions this year, and there is no, like, there seems like there is a rule somewhere, but there actually isn't, that you have to stick with the same traditions every single year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they will always be there if you want to go back to them. But if you want a year where you're just like either trying new things or maybe just like letting go of things and just kind of like feeling the season a little bit more and kind of getting rid of the busyness, then maybe that would be a good goal, is like, okay, I'm going to drop, you know, one or two of my traditions, and I'm going to find somebody that's already holding a tradition and ask like what I can do to, you know, help with that.
Yeah. So we're giving you permission to sit down, take an afternoon, write down the things you're planning on doing. You know, it's kind of not that we're into the holidays yet, but we're almost to Halloween. So we're starting that holiday season. What things have you always wanted to do, but haven't had time to do? Mm-hmm. Write that down. Put it on your calendar. What things do you do every year, but you don't want to make time for? You know, kind of have this evaluation process and really focus on the things that bring you joy, that serve other people, and that you just really want to continue. And it's okay to let the other things go. Mm-hmm. We're giving you that permission.
Nothing bad is,
because we have all the power.
Yeah, I talked to the lady that writes all the books about what you have to do. And in one of the pages of what you have to do, that wasn't there.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. And I'm a rule person, so I know the rules. So I can tell you.
This, I know, is all totally of them. Us qualifying ourselves to have this
all
podcast.
Of the rules.
Yeah, we know things.
We know things. We know there's this book somewhere, and we also know them, those people that tell us.
Them of them, yeah. Of the universe that says that you have to do things.
Yeah.
People and that should.
That's right. So we're taking out the shoulds and just bringing it back to joy. So,
yep.
Anyway, have a great week. We hope this is helpful, and we'll be continuing to post more often now, which we're excited about.
Tune in next time.
Yep. So happy fall. See you later.